Our lesson this morning is on Proverbs 4, 10 through 19, learning the great need to value corrective discipline. Often young adults and maturing teens view corrective discipline from their parents as especially annoying, for they are at the age when they desire to be independent of their parents in every way. I'll never forget when I was 18 and I was getting ready to leave home, go off to Bible college, I got on the bus, and my parents were waiting outside wanting to wave goodbye to me, and I just ignored them. They were hurt by that, and later I had to apologize, but I was so anxious to get away from home. It was just like, you know, I'm putting a period, and I'm moving on. However, there's a great need to value corrective discipline from proper authorities, not only as a young adult, but even throughout one's life. And Proverbs 4, 10 and 19 reveals the importance of this need so as to motivate the young adult or maturing teen, or even the full-fledged adult, to value corrective discipline that he receives. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into his word this morning. Father, we thank you for your love and your word and your truth, for the indwelling spirit of God who is our teacher, our guide, our paraclete, the one who is a parent to us. And we ask, Father, for wisdom to understand the word of God this morning and to use it, to apply it properly, in the power of the Spirit of God, that we indeed might enjoy your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read the passage, and then we'll look at it in depth. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 19. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in the right paths. When you go, your steps will not be straightened. When you runnest, thou shalt not stumble. The word straightened means impeded. Verse 13, take fast hold of instruction and do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not into the way of the evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. For they sleep not, neither except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more under the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They do not know at what they stumble. Okay, what's going on here? Proverbs 4, 10 through 12. Solomon began to urge his son to heed his words, to enjoy a long life, saying that he had taught him the way of God's fixed moral order, that's the Hebrew word chokmah, and led him in the paths of uprightness so that his steps would not be hampered lest he fail in his efforts in life, that's Proverbs 4:12a, nor stumble if he chooses to run, namely making an aggressive move. There are some people in life who are afraid to be aggressive or make an aggressive business decision or something because they've been burned so many times by making the wrong decisions, they don't make an aggressive enough decision. And of course, sometimes, really, to get ahead, you have to make an aggressive move at the right time, in the right endeavor. But if you lack this insight, then you don't know when to be aggressive and when not to. Well, the way in particular that Solomon had in this context was that of instruction. If you'll notice in verse 13, he says, take fast hold of instruction. Both the New International Version, the English Standard Version, and the King James Version use the word instruction. But it's the Hebrew word musar. And musar amounts to correction, which results in education. Solomon urged his son not to let musar go, to guard her, personifying it as a desirable spouse for a young man, for she was his life. Now, that's interesting. Heeding corrective discipline will actually prolong and protect your physical life. Okay. Now, a maturing teen or a young adult who earnestly seeks to be independent from his parents needs to see the value of firmly grasping the education he has received from being corrected by his parents. Solomon thus described the cause-effect contrasting results of those men who abandon such musar versus those who keep grasping it as follows. Those who abandon musar, that's corrective discipline that produces education, they become wicked, for not adhering to correction leaves the young man or an even adult male controlled by a sinful nature that leads him to a wicked way of life. Solomon knew exactly what he was talking about. And this is something that it's difficult, but it's necessary for every parent to realize. When that little, precious little baby is born into your family, that precious little baby is not innocent. He has a sin nature. He inherited that sin nature from his mother and his father. And that little baby from the word get-go is a sinner. So he needs correction, he needs direction, he needs to respect parental authority and so forth until he comes to know Christ as a Savior. Then he comes under the direction of God, and the Spirit of God is supposed to control him. He's supposed to rely on the Spirit because that sin nature is with him throughout his earthly life, and it needs to be chained up, penned in, and only the Spirit of God can have the control. Otherwise, the person will live a terrible life. I was talking one time, I was in a luncheon at someone's house, and there was an evangelist, a traveling evangelist there who ministered, and he said they've learned something from shock treatments that they used to give patients in these mental asylums. When you shock an individual like that, give them the shock treatment, all the controls, all the inhibitions are off. And they found that every single human being, regardless of gender, race, educational level, upbringing and everything, when all the controls are off, every single human being is capable of three things: constantly thinking about themselves, adultery, and murder. That's when the controls are completely off. That's because the sin nature has enormous control. And our disciple, our society is very controlled, and our society has influenced people to tone down these actions and so forth, but the sin nature is very rampant. So Solomon recognizes we need Musar for correction. So he strongly warned his son to avoid such a negative lifestyle in Proverbs 4:15, for there were terrible effects of living that way. For example, verse 16, lack of having received or adhering to correction which results in education, that is lacking Musar, leads to sleeplessness unless one can sin and cause someone else to sin. It's interesting, when they got a hold of the tapes that were in Osama bin Laden's lair, where he stayed there in Pakistan, he had a lot of tapes about himself. But they could tell from his writings and from the directions that he was providing, he was very frustrated that they weren't killing more Americans. He would stay awake at night trying to figure out how we can really upset the American people and kill lots of Americans. The last thing they heard about, that he was thinking about going after trains, but he was also thinking about upsetting the economy by going after oil tankers and blowing them up out at sea and whatnot. But he would just, he had a thing in for Americans. He wanted to kill as many as he could. And that's typical of a person who gets into wickedness. After a while, they just feed off of this. They can't get enough wickedness. Lack of such correction, which results in education, also causes one to earn a living. That's what eating bread of wickedness and drinking the wine of violence means. Earn a living by treating other people with violence. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Now, in stark contrast to this undisciplined, wicked way of life, the righteous man with Musar, who has heeded his father's correction which results in education, experiences a way of life that is like the initial rays of the morning sunlight that gradually increases to the full light of noonday, where he can follow straight paths and not be hampered or stumbled in his efforts of life. Now, this is an interesting picture that is provided us in this passage in verse 18, actually. The path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. A person who has this Musar, he makes a decision that is right, and he learns from that decision how right that decision is, and so he learns to apply that in other areas, and so his wisdom actually grows based upon the instruction that he received from his dad or his mother a long time ago. And it duplicates and enhances it, just like the sunshine. You can see light when it first rises, but when it gets up right directly above in at the noonday, you have plenty of light. You can see everything absolutely clearly. So this is something that grows throughout life. If you learn to follow your parents' corrective instruction when you're 20, when you're 30, you'll have an even clearer view. When you're 40, it'll be sharper. When you get into your 50s and your 60s, you'll say, oh my goodness, how correct that was. So it's something that grows. It doesn't just stop. It's interesting, before we started this lesson this morning, Marshall said that these lessons are not just for teens and maturing adults, also for grown-ups as well. That's true. We can learn these things throughout life. However, the wicked who has become wicked by abandoning musar, or abandoning correction, which results in education, goes on a path that is like deep darkness, where he does not know over what he even stumbles. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. You probably heard of Harold Camping this past week, this guy that had predicted that the end of the world was coming yesterday at 6 o'clock, and it was going to start in New Zealand and go with successive time zones from at 6 p.m. all the way across, you know, the world. So 6 p.m. New Zealand, we're going to have this earthquake, and then it was going to 6 p.m. in Singapore and so forth. And Twitter started coming across from New Zealand. They hadn't had an earthquake. Everything was fine there. And as the time zones went, apparently Camping's daughter was in telephone contact with her father, Harold Camping, and he couldn't understand. But he says, well, it's still not 6 o'clock here yet. Well, 6 o'clock came and went in Oakland, California, where he's at. Nothing happened. So the last we've heard that he's holed up in his house and all the blinds are down, the doors are shut, and he's not in contact with anybody. But it's amazing, there were people, there was one man who had cashed in his life savings of $140,000 in order to help with his advertising campaign, the billboards that went up for this, you know, predicting the end of the world. And he stood in Times Square waiting for the clock to turn 6 and went 6:01, and he just stood there. And he said, I don't understand. Of course, all his life savings were gone. And there's another lady that had given up going to medical school because of this, and so she and her husband arranged so that they would be absolutely penniless by May 21st. And it's come and gone, and they're expecting a baby. So, I mean, there are a lot of people that have been hurt by this, and we'll have an insert in the bulletin about it, about speaking the truth in love in regards to this. But these people have not followed the corrective results. The Bible very clearly says, no man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. And if you don't know the day or the hour when Christ comes on his second coming, you sure don't know the day or the hour of the rapture, which is 7 years before that. So anybody who sets a date is being very, very foolish. And anyone who follows someone who sets a date is going against the clear revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in his scriptures that says don't set the dates. But I'm amazed at these people. They said that they just don't understand. And I'm sitting there, wow, there's a tremendous amount of ignorance. And I got a call from Tim Terwilliger yesterday about this, and he knew that this was false, but he says, Pastor, you don't know how many Christians are upset at this, thinking the world's coming to an end. And he was trying to find some encouragement. So, you know, people who walk in darkness stumble over what they don't even know. And that's what goes on. Well, David Blankenhorn had an article, Life Without Father, in the USA Weekend of the February 24 to 26, 1995 issue of the Register Citizen, page 4 and 5, and it confirms this lesson. As he wrote, quote, fatherlessness is the most harmful demographic trend of this generation. It is the engine driving our most urgent social problems, from crime to adolescent pregnancy to domestic violence. Ultimately, this failure reflects a culture gone awry, unable to establish the boundaries and erect the signposts that can harmonize individual happiness with collective well-being. Absence of correction, which results in education by fathers, has led to this. Now, mothers also are corrective too, but fathers, particularly in regards to young men, they know that there is a direct correlation between high crime rates amongst young men in inner city groups and failures of having father figures or father mentors to hold these young men in check and to teach them how to be the right kind of a man and to channel their aggressiveness into productive realms rather than those that are non-productive. So this is a big problem. So it is in the best long-term interests of a maturing young adult or teen for him or her to hold to the correction he has received from his parents, a correction that leads to edifying self-discipline. So may we hold to the musar of our parents and testify of its great value to our children. A number of years ago, in the late 50s and early 60s, you probably heard of Dr. Spock. And he was promoting the idea that children need to have greater expression, so parents shouldn't be as corrective on them. You know, just let them loose. And Dr. Spock's teachings hit the church where my parents attended when we were on furlough here in the States. And my dad came back and he says, look, I don't care if the whole church goes after Dr. Spock. My kids are going to mind. Your kids are going to mind. So this is the way we're going to do it. Time has shown how right Dad was in regards to that. A number of parents who just took the controls off of their kids have lived to see their kids grow up to live terrible lives and get into all sorts of tragic situations that are just almost unbelievable. And I'm not saying that me or my brothers are saints. We're certainly not. But at least our lives are not a hopeless wreck, as has happened in many cases. A number of the kids in the church whose parents are following Dr. Spock. I understand that Dr. Spock, late in life, said, oh, I made a mistake. You know, please don't adopt that. You know, you have to have some controls on these kids. But it was too late. There was a whole generation that was raised just to express themselves any old way they wanted. So we really need to watch this, the Musarv appearance. It's interesting, when I was 18, I could hardly wait to get away from home. I'm 63 today. Well, actually, I'm a little over 63. I was 63 December 11th. I would give anything to be able to contact my father and to have him give his advice, and even especially his corrective advice, because Dad was so good at that. And he was always thinking in terms of, how can I help Don get better? How can he learn from this? How can he be more productive from this? He was never destructive in his discipline. His discipline and his correction was always constructive. But I can't do that. Dad's with the Lord. He's gone. All I have are his memories, and the memories of what he taught me. And so those are things that I cherish a lot and go back and review them a lot. So in case there was any teen here or maturing adult here, I was going to encourage them today, make sure you value your parents' instruction. It is your life. But maybe we can do that as adults. Maybe we can remember the corrective discipline that our parents gave us, some of whom may have passed on. But that corrective discipline is invaluable. There's a reason for it, and we need to value it. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on this particular lesson, or it could be on something else, or something that might be related to this. And we'll follow up with answers.